Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, 1 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Half hour away from Josh Klingler calling in. He, of course, is the chief sideline reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the final four games here, most likely, of the 2025 season. New territory for him since he's been part of the broadcast crew on the sidelines, and I want to get really his perspective on the mood really on the sideline. We were both in the locker room as well, but he's there on the sideline throughout the entire game. Has he noticed just a complete shift on the sideline or not? But we'll get into that with him in a little bit. I want to start the hour talking a little college football, though. Two different elements, two things that are game changers, potentially. One is happening. Another might happen. The one that is happening is what Utah just announced. And I'll be honest, I did not think the University of Utah and their athletic department would be the first one of all these to do it, but here we are. Yesterday, there was a story out from Front Office Sports, and then I think like one of these sites, Winter Sports Law, which is another more like business side of college sports Twitter account, that Utah is moving its athletics program into a new for-profit entity that is going to be owned by the university, a private equity firm, and select donors. Why are they doing it? They're going to get a $500 million capital infusion and operational expertise, as they say, from the equity firm. This is where we're headed in college athletics. And what's tricky is we already know we've had boosters for many, many years, and they have influence. That's a lot of the reason why they donate is they want influence. And it's why, frankly, I think somebody like James Franklin got ousted at Penn State is because the boosters had enough. Yes, he didn't win to their standard, but they were also in a national semifinal, for crying out loud, the year before. It also allows a prominent group of donors to purchase a stake in this new Utah Brands Entertainment spinoff that they're basically going to have. So this is a way for these schools to get quick cash infusion. But the danger, of course, is they own you, but what happens when the revenues don't continue at the same pace that they once were? If in fact, you know, the product is suffering, they are not saying the private equity firm will get to decide who, hey, you have to fire their head coach. That'll still be left up to the school president and the AD.
But we know the kind of pressure they can put on.
There's going to be even more pressure than what you're already getting from boosters. Those same boosters will then have a chance to buy a 5% stake in this, like actually buy a stake into your athletic department.
Look, I don't know whether or not, and this is genuinely just part of the issue, I don't know whether or not they're going to handle this way that some of these businesses gone. Because the current model of private equity is we purchase you, we own your assets, we then lease back your assets to you, file for bankruptcy, get our cash out, and now we got to try to rebuild the business model. So, like, how are the private equity firms planning on getting money out of this. It's not a for sale NFL team or Major League Baseball team. Because you and I said this before. Buying a Major League Baseball team or an NFL team, it's guaranteed money if you can afford it. Like, it will eventually turn into more money. It has been a 100% lock. Matter of fact, very few things appreciate at the level of this. And maybe there's some part of, like, being a part of this private equity thing makes you feel like you're part of an NFL ownership group, but not really, because you don't have the same amount of say. You're supposed to help with ticket sales and merchandising and jersey patches. How are they planning getting $500 million out quick? This feels like a real risk for a university or for a conference. I think it's why there's been a couple of teams in the Big Ten have been fighting against it, because the Big Ten was working on one of these deals for the whole conference.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple of pushbacks from a few of the universities.
And Boise State, I know they, and they're in the Group of Five level, they I don't know if it's they spun off the athletic department. I don't know if it was that, but they have partnered with a private equity firm. I don't know the exact details, but this is something that is going to continue to happen. This is just the first major university, I believe, to do it. But you're right. It's you're basically getting a $500 million, you know, payday loan, if you will. And you are saying the long-term revenue we're not going to get in exchange for the upfront cash. And you're hoping, everybody involved is hoping, that the current trend of athletic revenues continue for your athletic department. And this is just further separation of athletic department from university. That's what this is.
I think, and you guys mentioned it, you know, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, I think just the expectations that also come along with these things, because the risk is so high that you need to try to take advantage of this much where, you know, just looking at Utah briefly, Kyle Whittingham's been there for like 17, 18 years now. Not getting to a playoff is not good enough. Like, for something like this, where you're going to get an investment
$500 million.
You have to make the playoff every single year. I think that's the expectation, where if that doesn't happen, hey, sorry, man, you've been great for this program. You've been the face of the program for a long time now, almost two decades, but you go 10-2 and you don't make it. Sorry, man, this ain't good enough. We're going to fire you. Like, I think it turns into a very, it makes you feel in a way slightly bad for the coaches, because 10-2 isn't good enough. Granted, it wasn't good enough at Penn State either, I suppose. But now that the private equity is involved, it feels like the money risk is there even higher, where you have to perform, plain and simple.
To Cody's point, though, maybe it'll be different with athletics, but I'm not convinced. It sounds like you aren't either.
No.
If you just look at some of the recent numbers, this is from Forbes. So 52, as of October of this year, 52 private equity-backed companies filed for bankruptcy. Okay. So
it's been a part of the business model.
So
Utah athletics, I don't think, can file for bankruptcy. So I don't really understand. And I guess, what does Utah need the $500 million for? What are they putting it into?
They want to use it for
NIL. They can use it for facilities. Oh yeah. Basically the cost to run an athletic department.
Cause at this point, it's like the cost of running an NFL team.
And evidently they don't have the booster. Like, for Texas Tech, they've got Cody Campbell. They've got the booster level that can give them that extra money. Evidently, Utah doesn't have the same access to alumni who are either willing to or have the funds to upgrade their programs and facilities to the level of Texas Tech or BYU currently, at least from the Big 12 side of things.
I hope we're wrong, but based off of how this typically goes, this will not end up ending well.
Probably not.
I hope that's not the case, but...
Man, that's weird.
Usually doesn't end well.
Earlier on Twitch, because we're on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and all that, somebody had correctly pointed out, because I was making fun of Tubin's name, had said, your name's Cody Tapp. That's not exactly an awesome name either. I said, that's a fair point. I said, there are no CEOs named Cody on this planet.
And here you go.
Cody Campbell, ex-CEO. He was a CEO.
That man is
loaded.
There
was one CEO named Cody. Cody Campbell's got a little bit more of a CEO vibe. Like,
that man has got some cash on him,
now
too.
Now, the only difference in someone... tweeted this to me just a second ago, and they're correct. Now, the only part where you get some hope and you say it's not the same as the private equity examples that we have given is that this company, this, I don't know if you pronounce it, Otro, whatever, Capital.
Yep.
They specialize already across sports, entertainment, and media. So maybe it'll be different. That's like, this is their specialty, but I don't know, man. We'll see how it checks out for Utah. And then, you know, part of this whole conversation is centered around the money that is made in the college football playoff. And you got Paul Feinbaum going on Get Up the other day saying that Group of Five should just be out of the conversation entirely for the CFP. Right now, it's a 12-team playoff. There's conversations happening as we speak, actually, to expand to either 16 or 24.
They got 6 weeks to figure it out.
Yeah.
They extended the deadline was originally
it was
the
today
first.
Or whatever. Yeah.
It was this month, so they extended it. Yes.
Big Ten wants 24, SEC wants 16. We're going to get expansion. We just don't know what number. Okay. But as it currently sits with 12, we know this year there's two group of five schools in for the first time ever. Paul Feinbaum said, let's just not invite them to the party. And I think and he's taken a lot of heat for this, and that's fine. I think the setup for college football in the playoff, unless we do have major expansion, you're not going to ever see two group of five schools in it again. And we can pretend and act like, well, let's not ban them and pretend that we're inviting them to the table. If this was, we said it on Monday, the group of five getting two schools in this year was the worst thing that happened to their chances of being part of the dance long term.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And these kind of comments are exactly that.
Then what do you do? Like, I mean, they're a member organization of the NCAA. So unless the Power Four are going to completely separate, if I were the small schools, why am I a part of the NCAA? You don't serve me. You only serve 40 teams. We're 300 members deep. You're serving 20% of the entire organization if you're letting the other ones completely even eliminate us from the conversation. So unless you're going to do a group of five championship tournament.
I think, yeah. Unless you have a major expansion.
And JMU and Tulane are the one and the two seeds, mm-hmm. then that's not the case. And look, we don't think that relegation systems are in place. I don't understand why they always act. This is what really does bother me about all college sports just in general. And this happens in the tournament too. It's not different for basketball versus the other one. You act so offended because you got one spot taken away. Oh, boo-hoo. I'm sorry you lost four games in the SEC or three games
in
the SEC.
Well, that's what we just got done talking about. Yeah, it's money. It's just got done talking about it. That's the reason why.
Yeah.
Not only is it ego and pride and all that, but it's all money.
If I do worse at my job, I make less money. If I do good at my job, I make more. I'm sorry that you want an unfair system that completely eliminates people like Tulane from doing a good job and earning money and getting to compete in the tournament with you. We don't need to
exclude that. I guess I would ask.
I think there's
just because they're at a smaller school.
Yeah. Well, I think, and to your point, though, Cody, is that it's a little bit different, but I think the comparison of it's not Tulane and JMU's fault that Missouri's in the SEC. It's not their fault that Missouri chose to take more money, and as a result, significantly reduce their chances of going to said college football playoff because they decided to take more money. If it's along the lines of who's the best teams, then I think it's hard it's hard to argue for the group of five teams just because of that. But I think the way that the current format is, though, now, I don't think, like, Paul Feinbaum complaining about it, to me, I don't think makes it any harder or tougher for JMU and Tulane to get in, because the format is the format. I think that as long as it is the way it is right now, one group of five team is guaranteed a spot in, no matter how right or wrong people think it is. There's a guaranteed spot, and it's their best chance of making it right now. Because if you were to say, well, you know what, let's go, you know, we'll allow the group of five teams in, but only if they are ranked inside of the top 12. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see that happen probably ever again in all likelihood. I know Boise State was floating on the cusp of it last year.
It's already a completely imbalanced system, and now they don't even want to let the little guys.
Yeah, they want to let the little guy. And in fairness, too, I get the Tulane loss to Ole Miss by 35 points. I understand that.
And both these schools are, you know, anywhere from 18 to 22-point underdogs.
But I do think, in the same breath, there were people, I don't know if Paul Feinbaum was one of them, who don't like the group of five teams, like that Duke, hey, they won the ACC, they should take one of the spots. In all fairness, they must have not looked at the schedule this year, because Tulane beat Duke, and they won the ACC title game. So I think that they should have a seat at the table, but in the 12-team format, I just don't think it's going to happen. And maybe it takes the teams expanding more, but I think, Cody, to your point about how the NCAA, we shouldn't be a part of the NCAA anymore, that's not what the group of five teams are going to do. That's what the Power Four conferences are going to do. They'll break away from the NCAA, and then the smaller schools will just stay within the NCAA, just like the FCS schools and the DE2 schools, and those are. I think that's how it would go more if they were to expand and break away, I guess.
Right, because again, the current setup, the college football playoff is not run by the NCAA right
Correct.
Now
it's
already.
By the CFP committee,
so actually, like the current CFP, they would go do their own thing without the group of five, and then the group of five, the NCAA would have to, for the first time at this level, create their own playoff like they do, as you said, at the FCS. But remember, right now, the NCAA is not who's running any of this currently. They handle the regulation of the you know, sanctions, et cetera, and recruiting violations
of FBS.
But
football,
the actual playoff and the championship, we mentioned is like NCAA national champions. It's not really. You're a college football playoff national champion.
That's why the trophy is not a NCAA champion trophy that like they get.
Instead, it looks like, as Cody described to us last year, and now has ruined it for everybody. Oh, it looks like something from the female anatomy.
Correct. I believe that's what that trophy looks like, and it will remain. I don't understand why you are so threatened by the idea that a group. Well, if you want to keep it to just only one group of five team gets in, fine.
Yeah,
and I guess in the off year that there's the number two team in the country is a group of five, and the number 12 team in the country stinks to be the 12. Not really a thing that's going to happen. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter. It's just of all the inequality. And look, I don't have to point out. You want me to pull up the other college football playoff results? Because I'll tell you right now, there's I can find 20, 30-point losses. Tennessee got their ass kicked.
By 25 points.
Oregon got worked. Like, blowouts.
SMU is a power conference team. They lost by 28.
The same as fight songs and stickers on helmets. Blowouts are a part of life in college football. They happen all the time across the sport, and almost every weekend there's massive blowouts. There's a talent disparity.
That argument is tiring. That, well, there are, because Paul Feinbaum was like, they're a 20-point underdog.
And they are. And they're not, the games are not going to be close. Yeah, and that's true. I would wonder for the majority of sports fans, we're talking just football, because to me it is not the same at all. I know we want to compare it to the NCAA tournament. It's just not. There's too many differences. Number of teams and the discrepancy of the third best player on a small conference team versus a power five. The gap is just not the same resources wise. But what would fans want? This is the question for me. If you're just a casual college football fan, not the diehard, not you and Bank, Drew, like you're going to watch I don't care who's playing.
No, of course.
But the casual fan, which is ultimately with any of these leagues, what they need, the casual fan, are they more likely to watch this or next weekend or whatever, if it is Oregon against, I don't know, Tennessee. Vanderbilt,
yeah,
or Oregon Tulane. And this is just me speaking, text line, let me know. As a fairly casual college football observer, I would rather see Diego Pavia, who's going to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and Vanderbilt play, even if you told me they were also going to lose by 17. You're like, why does it matter? I know the players on that team. I have intrigue. I want to watch Diego Pavia. He's fun. He's intriguing. This is not me saying that the committee should have screwed these over. I'm just saying, for a casual fan, who do you think they would rather watch?
100% it's the brands. They would rather see Texas than JMU, 100%, which I think is...
And that's the struggle, right? Long term for this whole thing.
It's not necessarily a... I'm not going to say it's a tiring argument, but I understand why people would rather see Texas play than James Madison.
Weird. It's because like I'm probably in the minority, admittedly. But
even if it is a
blowout, I'd rather watch James Madison in that case. I don't need to see another Texas football game. I'm good.
If you told me there was going to be a blowout,
I'd rather watch Arch Manning than I couldn't tell you who the hell the quarterback is at James Madison.
Alonzo Barnett.
Sure. Cody didn't know either.
I knew it was Alonzo Barnett. I can't believe you didn't.
We had the whole thing with once we get closer to draft time, we'll have to do that whole thing again.
Yes, we will. That's gonna have to be a bit. Boy.
You do know Francisco Mendoza plays in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fernando. You didn't even get his name right.
See, here you go.
You called him Francisco.
Fernando. Thank you.
But yeah,
goodness.
I think that's part of the because you're dealing with like the casual fans who are like, I'd rather see the better team play.
And let's be real, you guys know deep down, and this is not the criteria that they use, and that's fine. And I'm moving the goalposts, admittedly, but Notre Dame is better than Tulane. Yes, nobody can argue otherwise.
Yes.
Right? And that's not how we
but
do
the
this.
The second we set that standard, I would tell you that I think the committee got it right choosing Miami. I think Notre Dame's a better team. The second we just make it subjective and it's just who's better,
I'm just
Alabama
saying,
gets in a couple
about group of
years
fives,
ago.
Though. Talking about group of fives. Not comparing power fours. Group of fives. Like there, I don't know if there's ever going to be a circumstance with the top 15, let's say, I don't know, the top 15 ranked power four schools. I don't know if you'll ever truly be able to tell me any of the top 15 power four schools are worse than the number one group of five.
I don't, and hence the reason why.
Occasionally, right? Boise. I mentioned the Boise. Sure.
But were they rare, but were they really better than though any of the
no?
The, that's
no.
What I'm saying. Were they better though than the any of the top 15?
They were 13-0 beat Oklahoma.
But were they?
They're not better than those teams.
Well,
I think
again,
so.
This is the whole debate. We can't even cite record because that's the whole issue people have with the group of five is saying, well, who did they play?
And in fairness to Boise State, look, they're one loss or one of their two losses that. Also happened in the playoff. The other one was the loss to Oregon. They only lost by 3 points.
Yeah.
So I think there's some argument there. But, you know, in fairness to that argument, where's Tulane ranked this year? They're ranked 20th.
They are.
I think that's where...
But that's subjective. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you know,
100%.
The whole thing is subjective.
Tulane might be better than Miami. Are we sure 100%?
No, we're not 100% sure. They haven't played yet, so we're not 100% sure.
Yeah, 100%. I think we can never be sure, which is part of the thing with the human with humans deciding these things.
Yeah,
there's subjectiveness.
Get me the BCS again.
But I think if you mentioned a percent, Cody. If you took 20%, so right, the NCAA tournament is roughly 18% of teams out of all D1, 363, I believe there is, out of all those. 68 make the field. That's about 18% of college basketball teams make it. If you're like, well, you know what? Let's do a similar percentage to college football. There's 136 teams in FBS. The 17% mark, 18% mark is 24. And we see that in other places where I think that is a legitimate conversation where if you still wanted to go the route that you're talking about, Cody, and I agree with you, I think this should be included. That's the way that I think it should be, because if you had 24 teams make it, you're going to naturally have a group of five team in there just based on the final top 25 rankings at the end of the year. It's a natural way. And even if they're the 24 seed, fine. But there would be a group of five team included naturally in a 2014 playoff. Not that there wouldn't be any debate still, but there'd be a way to include them without having a discussion.
So somebody went through and went through what the BCS rankings would have been if we still had, like, what it would have been this year. Now, one of the polls that they used, the rankings back then don't exist anymore, so they had to combine the AP poll. The Harris poll was part of the equation. That doesn't exist.
BYU would be in 5 miles.
But basically, this is what, if we were still doing the old BCS model, here's what the 12-team playoff would have been. Number one would have been Indiana. Number two would have been Ohio State, still. Number three would have been Georgia, 4 Tech, 5 Oregon, 6 Mississippi, Ole Miss, 7 Texas A&M, 8 Oklahoma, Notre Dame would have been 9, Alabama would have been 10, Miami would have been 11, BYU would have gotten at number 12. Just left out would have been Vandy at 13, Texas 14, Utah 15, USC 16, Tulane would have been 18, James Madison and the BCS would have been 19. So the BCS formula would have kicked the group of five schools out. I'm not saying which is right or wrong, but like, it's kind of interesting.
If they did the 24, though, I think.
Yeah, if they did 24. But here's the thing, Drew. If they did 24, Iowa at 8-4 is going to be. Like, this is the problem when we get into expanding to 24.
I totally understand.
This is the playoffs in every sport, though. We had a 7th baseball team, and they're 81-81, and we had a 7th NFL team, and they're 10-7 Miami, and they can't come to Kansas City.
If you look at 32
NFL teams, Iowa would be.
But this is where we're only.
I'm way less interested watching that than Tulane.
But this is where we're only taking in college sports. We're taking a significantly less amount of teams percentage wise compared to any professional league. There's 14 teams that make the playoff. They also just have way more teams.
No, 100%.
100%. But we're taking 50% of the NFL teams and throwing them in. That's why you get the 8-9s or the 9-8s, if you will, where, again,
I will say
to make the college football playoff this year, you basically had to be 10-2 or better.
Yeah, I will say the 2014 playoff does solve one of your issues, which is how do you make bowl games better? Those bowl games just have – the Pop-Tarts Bowl is actually round one of the college football playoff. You know, like the play-in
and
games.
And have it on campus. Yeah, two rounds of on campus.
Like, I mean – you can solve some of the bowl stuff with you're going to do your branding, you're going to do the thing, the Pop-Tart goes down and is nihilist and the whole, and you're going to do the show and all of that stuff, but it's just a part of, you're going to do the bowl pageantry stuff.
It's just
a part of the playoff and still matters.
That takes care of another 4 bowl games. We still got another.
It does take care of a lot.
We still got another 30 that are meaningless, but yes, it would help with some of the other issues around the bowl system. All right, up next, we'll do a quick what's trending, and then Josh Klingler, Chief Silat Reporter, going to join us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Right here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Tele Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Tele's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Tele. Visit TeleTire.com today.
We'll start with the Royals. Well, they get the sixth pick in the MLB draft. Lottery was last night. They finished 16th in baseball last year, which meant they had like a 0.8% chance for the number one overall pick and only had, I think, a 10% chance to get the sixth overall pick. They did, though. Congrats on that one. The draft lottery actually broke their way for the first time.
Yeah. Rule 5 draft was today. The Royals did not take anyone in the first round of the Rule 5 draft, nor did they have any of their players taken. As a reminder, some of their former first-rounders, like Frank Mazzucato and others,
were technically up for grabs.
Just letting you know. Next up on What's Trending, the NFL did announce today it'll return to Munich, Germany in 2026 and 2028 to play regular season games as part of their multi-year partnership with the City of Munich and FC Bayern Munich. People do think the Chiefs will go back to Germany at some point. Maybe not next year. We'll see. The games will also be played on that stadium, as we've mentioned. We'll see where the Chiefs head, at least on that category. We still know people watch the Chiefs. They have the five most watched NFL games this year. Question is, do they already have those things in place?
We're looking at the schedule next year. You can already see where a majority of the schedule is. They're playing the AFC East next year. They're playing the NFC West next year. Yeah, not the best conference.
Patriots
divisional.
And Bills, and you got to play the West, which is one of the more tough divisions.
Those are guaranteed divisions, and then you'll play the third-place team. Assuming they finish third, looks like they will, of the other divisions. Elsewhere on What's Trending, Baseball Hall of Fame announced today, Joe Buck is the Ford C. Frick Award winner. He'll be heading to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You might hate him for his World Series call during the Royals run, but I think he's very good broadcaster. And he's been doing it long enough. That's just the way that it goes. Lastly on What's Trending, Pete Alonso heading to the Orioles on a five-year, $155 million deal. Slugger hit 41 home runs last year. Seems to be a good fit for that ballpark. Maybe a slight overpay, but I don't imagine the Orioles would care. They pay almost no one ever. So this is a pretty big deal for the Orioles to spend that kind of cash.
And then they'll trade Adley Rutschman is what will happen, too, because they got that other catcher that they called up.
Yeah.
Was it DeSalo or whatever his name is?
Yeah, they had the other top kid.
But yeah, Rutschman.
They got a very good infield.
They do. How about the AL East just loading up even stronger than what it already has been? That's crazy. Meanwhile, the Mets, I think their fans are not happy about what's happening there with the New York Mets. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, with Josh Klingler, Chiefs sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. Getting a noon kickoff coming up on Sunday. Chiefs Chargers will be on the sideline. And Kling, we were saying, much like Patrick Mahomes saying this is kind of unprecedented territory, for you being on the sidelines, this is not the normal vibe the final four games or so of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of demand around the country to talk about what's going on with the Chiefs. And I guess my standard line is they're living the other half, right? This is how most NFL teams are every season. We're just not used to doing that, where it's, you know, playing down the stretch and maybe having to do some things to get yourself in the playoffs versus a Chiefs team, obviously, that's been prepared to figure out a way to get the number one seed and not be, you know, fretting whether or not they're going to be in the postseason. So the weirdness continues. I heard you guys talking baseball today. I'm not ready for that. So that hit me a little bit hard today, as I know the baseball talk has started to pick up and you guys were promoting Vern coming on, and I'm like, no, slow down. We have football to go yet. But yeah, it's kind of strange.
What about the feeling on the sideline? Kling, we were both in the locker room after the game, and I know you've been in losing locker rooms, whether it was Chiefs or whether it was KU basketball back in the day after a Final Four loss or Elite Eight loss. And so you've been in some, you know, down and, you know, depressing locker rooms, if you will. What was the mood on the sideline, though? Because that's where nobody else but you were really there.
You know, I think it, you know, because that game was close, right? I think it was when it made a 2-score game, right? And then I think everybody went, oh, crap, you know? But the missed opportunities in the third quarter, I didn't see, you know, a lot of panic necessarily, but you just thought, okay, they're going to get that punch, go-ahead drive. And, you know, it was obviously the sideline was pretty hyped for the most part because the defense was just killing it, right? So, the energy was great because, you know, Chris Jones was a beast in the second half of that game. And so, you know, the energy was great, I think, right up until it became kind of a 2-score game without not enough time. And then you kind of saw it. And then obviously that filtered over the locker room where, Alex, you know, there was like everybody's like really reflective. The ones that didn't just pack up and get out were sitting there kind of sitting around in kind of stunned disbelief. So they're still playing as if they have a shot. They do have a shot technically. So, you know, I think, you know, we'll see. I know Dane and Hughes had talked about this even before this past game that, you know, he wanted to see, you know, these are testing moments for people. Do you want to fight? Do you want to show your coaches you're in it? And you definitely don't want to show on video that you're not in it. So I'm expecting they're going to go bust it this week and, you know, see if they can get lucky. It certainly has to start with the win against the Chargers, and Chargers are about the only team you can catch, right? It seems right now, based on all the math. So you got to go and beat the Chargers. So at least for one more week, they're in it.
When you look at like where I, you know, and I'm not there yet. So, but fan sentiment always goes this way and it goes south in a hurry. Do you feel like Andy's lost his touch? Like a lot of this is just like, it turns into ageist stuff, right? Like, hey, he's slipping. He's 67 years old. He doesn't have the thought process. I think he's always operated this way on fourth down, and I hate it. I want him to have a plan and not just go with his gut in those moments specifically, Kling. What have you made of the season from Andy Reid? He's obviously struggled in areas where others have too.
Well, I mean, I think you could call Philadelphia and say, we didn't tell you they don't run the ball. Like, I mean, you know, if that's been a theme for years and years and years, the feeling of not running the football enough, certainly. But yeah, that's been maybe the strangest part of this season, right? That everybody has had a part in it. I think there are times where you can go, well, the players are just screwing up, right?
Yeah.
You could point and say they're well coached. They're just screwing up. Well, this year it looks like not everybody's kind of been on their game. Certainly special teams have taken a step back. The offense has taken a step back. You know, offensively, they've had, you know, really, really good moments, and then third downs continue to be kind of baffling. So I think everybody's really had a hand in it. I thought the game the other day looked exactly how I feel this season has gone.
Yes.
Doinked field goal, ball bouncing off a hand and landing in somebody's lap, perplexing calls on a fourth down, or even going on a fourth down when your percentages weren't great. Kind of like everybody had a hand in it to a certain extent in that loss, or you could say had a hand in not helping the team win. And that's really been kind of the synopsis of 2025, right? That it's been the ball hasn't bounced their way. They haven't produced their own breaks. They executed up to snuff. And it's all led to being where they are right now.
We're talking to Josh Klingler here on 96.5 The Fan. You know, I thought it was interesting, the national conversation a little bit in the last couple of days. I saw multiple people mentioning that, you know, the offensive line is something, you know, they got to make some changes there. They're hurt. They got multiple injuries. I actually feel really good about the O-line long-term suddenly. They're in their best spot O-line-wise heading into an offseason than they've been in years.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, well, I mean, we don't know the extent of Josh Simmons, but,
true.
You know, I'm believing he'll probably be ready for training camp, right? Pole was a guy that's very interesting because he was kind of a guy like whispered about at training camp. I'm sure you guys probably heard too. They're like, watch this young guy here. And then I was really surprised when they didn't protect him. But when the season started, I'm like, wow, that was kind of a guy they kind of penciled in as kind of a project tackle. And I thought, well, you're going to have one of those guys in the near future, depending on what you did with Juwan Taylor. And that was maybe a little bit before we knew exactly what Simmons was, but you know, they might have found a little diamond in the rough in Pole. So luckily they were able to kind of get him back. So that leaves you, you know, options. You still have Juwan Taylor. You still have pretty much everybody if you want, or you have some decisions probably to get younger and cheaper because you've had a couple of young guys step up and play pretty well. Again, Pole is just one game of work, but that's a pretty good test to get thrown in that kind of fire and be able to pass that thing. He's got to be a guy that you think has some upside for you going forward. So no, I mean, yeah, the other day I was asked a question on a national show last night, and it was about, man, what'd you think of that Houston defense? I mean, they were absolutely wrecking up front. And I'm like, they're good, but there were three backup offensive linemen for the Chiefs. Like I put my number ones in, and I take my chances that they're going to be able to hold off the pass rush. So, you know, that was, you know, an unknown portion going into that game, right? Could that offensive line hold up? I thought they did a decent enough job to be able to get the job done. And no, I feel good about the line moving forward because you have options, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, and you have probably some cost-saving options too, which is going to be great, I think, for the Chiefs in the offseason.
Where are you on the state of the future of the wide receivers and where they are right now? It appears Xavier Worthy's taken a step back yards per game-wise. Rashee Rice is still on pace to be a 1,200-yard wide receiver, but we were asking about off-season extensions that would, you know, normally come in this off-season, year three going into year four with no fifth-year option because he's a second-round pick. How do you feel about the wide receivers, I guess, specifically Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice?
Yeah, and then maybe even throw in Hollywood Brown, right? Like, I thought there would be more of an identity for what that group is and what that group can do. Danan obviously played the position in the NFL, and he's talked a lot about the kind of the discipline of running routes and obviously catching footballs and those types of things. And I feel like that spot has been lacking, that there's not enough consistency necessarily at all times in that wide receiver group. And then figuring out exactly what your offensive identity is and who's going to get the ball. I mean, everybody got to eat lasted like a week and a half.
Ooh, yeah, that died in a hurry.
Right, that died almost as quickly as the Reaper thing, right?
Grim Reaper,
the Reaper of the playoffs, which should have had a longer life, but everybody's got to eat, should have too. And so, no, I think that there needs to be, a better, you know, attention to detail, I think, from that group. And then, you know, really hone in on working what your abilities are and how you fit in the offense. Yeah, Worthy's been a little bit perplexing because he was a guy that was on a steady climb last year, and then by the end of the year, you're like, holy crap, they're going to open up the playbook and be able to give him a whole bunch of stuff. And obviously, injuries set him back for a portion of this season. Rice's recent drops are concerning. I know that the coaching staff's kind of poo-pooed that, right? But, I mean, he's had some key drops the last couple of weeks, and those are just attention drops, right? Like the fourth down play the other day, I mean, that – just catch the ball. It's a first down. You don't have to be looking for extra yards and taking your eye off the ball and missing passes like that are pretty inexcusable out of, you know, what's supposed to be a number one guy. So I think they're going to have to get better as a group. You know, I don't know what the room's going to look like next year either. You know,
well, there's a lot of guys not under contract. It's really just
right. Yeah.
I think they'll find a way to get Tyquan back, but they may be,
you know, revamping other than obviously Rice and Worthy. You may be revamping, you know, a good portion of that group and probably Tyquan Thornton, probably part of it too. But can you bring back Juju for one more year? I don't know. You know, Hollywood Brown probably hasn't shown you anything other than you could get him cheap again if you wanted to. But I think they need to find another tall type of target. I know we've been pining for those for years, but I see these teams come out against the Chiefs and have, you know, three guys that are, you know, 6'3", 6'4", and I'm like, all right, I'd like to have a guy or two of that build.
Kling, I can ask you more about the Chiefs in just a minute, but can we briefly discuss the idea that a 44-year-old, 5 years removed from the NFL, that you covered quite a bit in your time here in Kansas City, Philip Rivers, returned to the NFL, who might very well start this Sunday for the Colts? How's this going to go? This is not meant to be like, I get it, man. We all eat too much during the holidays or whatever. He's not looking quite as felt as his playing days either.
Well, nor should he. I mean, it wasn't like he was like working out to be ready to go at a moment's notice. So, you know, he probably was like, hey, give me a little heads up on this thing. But I find it interesting, and I love it too, because like if a team's willing to do it, go do it. Right. Otherwise he's never going to know if he's ever had doubts, you know, like, man, did I stop too early or can I still do it? A team's willing to give you the opportunity to prove it. I love it. So go out there and do it. I don't want him to win. Obviously I want the Colts to finish off their, what appears to be, I think they're looking at a fold right at this stage of things. So get them out of the way, but I'm intrigued to see if he still can zing it a little bit and do a little bit offensively. I mean, what a quarterback mess they've suddenly got themselves into, though, in Indianapolis. I mean, that turn from what they thought was the story of a season kind of thing to an absolute mess in a heartbeat. Because if that's your option, oof, you know, things were pretty dire. I was trying to figure out a way they could get Joe Flacco.
Just kind of have to release him.
That would have made more sense. Flacco plays for like 8 teams this season before the year's out.
The problem is you need like someone like Flacco or Russell Wilson to like badmouth someone, like to like try to sleep with someone's wife or something. You got to go like way out of line to get yourself cut in those teams.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know if even badmouthing an organization or demanding a trade would work, but you'd have to do something to maybe question the number one guy. And I don't know, something to stop yourself. You're saying
start talking to the press
out of a contract. Yeah.
You got to go almost too far, Kling. That's for sure. No, I just think like, look, I'm curious for the normal reason someone's curious. A 44-year-old's going to take 5 years off of football, last play during COVID, is going to try to play against some of the top 5 defenses in the league. Yeah, I'm interested.
Yeah. I think he's going to notice right away, man, they're moving faster than I remember. So yeah. We'll see if he can get out of harm's way. I'm sure he can still kind of throw it, but can he get out of trouble? That'll be the question.
We're talking to Josh Klingler here. What about the AFC outside of just the Colts, Kling? I mean, you got the Broncos and Patriots atop the conference, two quarterbacks that one has played in the postseason, the other hasn't played in the postseason, but it's still very little experience. Do you buy into what the Broncos are capable of doing come January or the Patriots more?
I do like the Broncos defense. I liked Bo Nix last year more than this year, but
yeah,
you know, I saw some things last year that go, that makes some sense. Kid can sling it down the field. Kid can use his legs to get out of trouble. Those types of things. He hasn't been quite as sharp in that regard this year. So probably if you're asking me to pick one or the other, I'd probably lean towards the Broncos defense, because I think that defense is really, really good. That's a championship level defense. I guess looking around the rest of the AFC, the problem I have, guys, you probably have this too, like, if the Chiefs play their game, they can beat any one of these teams.
They've been in every game this year except for the Chargers game, the very first game of the year.
The problem is they haven't beaten any of these teams. But I look at that's what's so sickening when you look at the standings and you realize, okay, they're in 10th. They're on you got to squint to see a possibility for them to get in. But it's like nobody in the AFC brings a ton of fright to me. I still think the Bills are probably the one team, even though they're behind the Patriots. It's like they've at least been to a little bit of this and done that. And I think Josh Allen can be scary in the postseason. So still think if it were to start today, I'd probably like the Bills to come out of the AFC. But again, I look around the whole thing and go, Chiefs, come on, man. You can literally beat all of these teams if you're playing your best and not playing clean football, playing smart football. Yeah. They just haven't done it. So that's the troubling part. It's going to look like a big missed opportunity. I mean, it is anyway, right? When you have Patrick Mahomes healthy for an entire season, if you are to miss the playoffs, that's a huge miss. But I'm also thinking, like, this isn't a couple years ago Buffalo or a couple years ago Baltimore. This is a weaker overall AFC, I think. And so you're going to have a missed opportunity if you don't make the playoffs, having to look at this AFC, that would give you some upset stomachs.
I do it's so weird about it is that if all the miracles happen, and by the way, I think the least believable thing of all the things they need to happen is the Chiefs winning four games in a row, not all the losses they need. Based on the schedule, those things are actually somewhat plausible. But if it happened, Kling, I know I'd talk myself into it. If they were the seventh seed and they were in the playoffs, I'd be like, I trust any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah,
Bo Nix, Drake May, all those guys going to stand in their way? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah, you win four in a row and you're into the playoffs, we're all going to be saying no one's going to want to see the Chiefs, and I think they're probably going to be right.
Yeah.
If they win real off four in a row, I'll take them anywhere. You can go to Foxborough, you can go back to Denver, all those things, you'd be talking yourself into it for sure. But, can they win four in a row? This team doesn't look like they haven't had the capability to go on a long win streak. So, I'd love for it to start now, but you haven't seen enough signs that could be the case.
Kling, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Yeah, I got four games no matter what, so I'm still living game by game. So I don't want to be free in January.
Yeah, I mean, you have one away game left, and in Nashville, it could be a little cold there, but nothing too crazy, right?
Vegas
is warm weather. Yeah, I guess it's a dome.
Yeah, and two really bad teams away from home, so it's like, okay, get this one against the Chargers.
let yourself believe. I know.
I'm doing that. Okay, beat the Chargers. Titans are garbage. Denver might not have enough to play for. And then leave yourself something. Figure out a way to be still in it on the last day of the season.
Please.
That'd be great.
Please.
There you go. Josh Klingler, he joins us each and every Wednesday here on Cody and Gold.
Badmouth someone like try to sleep with someone's wife or something.
Yeah, what? What?
I didn't say actually do it. I said the threat. Say it if you're trying to get cut and be a starting quarterback.
Of all people, too, you use Russell Wilson as an example.
Yeah, that's true. Look, Russ was better than Riley Leonard.
Well, sure, I mean,
gives you a better chance than Riley Leonard, you know.
He does have Sierra though.
Joe Flacco on another team would have been hilarious. Just another team Joe Flacco finds himself on.
He's already played for the Colts too. I mean, he was
true.
I just meant again.
But yeah, he's. How many Colts teams have, he not for at this
the
point?
The Colts have had plenty of old veteran quarterbacks in the last
Matt
5 years.
Matt Ryan,
Carson Wentz.
Honestly, Phillip if you Rivers. Are Phillip an old Rivers. Veteran quarterback, you've played for the Colts.
Seems like it, doesn't
it? The Colts recycled a ton of their options.
And it is true. Like, Anthony Richardson would have had, if it wasn't for this freak injury during pregame, now, I think we've seen enough of him, but like, he would be in a spot right now to change his entire career, right? He'd be starting, prove that you can win a couple games, get him in the playoffs. Like, he would have been able to set himself up to actually, be the starting quarterback again next year. All of that. Nope. He's not even available. Not healthy. He had one of those bands that slapped back and hit him in the eye. Broke a bone.
That is
crazy.
Injury.
The veteran starting quarterbacks who have started for the Colts, not including Peyton Manning, really, although he was an older veteran quarterback. Carson Wentz,
mm-hmm.
Phillip Rivers,
right.
Gardner Minshew. Matt Ryan, Daniel Jones. Right. I mean,
they were in quarterback purgatory, just trying to find a way in the playoffs is what they
Nick
were doing.
Nick Foles. These are all the quarterbacks who have at some point been on their roster in their last like 10 years. It is an impressive list of aging veteran quarterbacks. They went back to Phillip Rivers. I hope he starts on Sunday.
An impressive list of mid.
I don't know. I don't want him to start this Sunday because I think that is truly setting up for failure. Get him ready. I want the intrigue going into Monday Night Football the following week. We haven't seen him yet. Colts lose this week into Seattle. Must win spot. Rivers against Kyle Shanahan and the Niners on Monday Night Football. That's what I want. First time for him in 2025.
Yeah, you want a clean slate.
Yeah.
Extra practice.
Yep.
Man. I did. The best quote of the entire thing was somebody said, what's your playing way right now? He's like, not what I left. That's for sure.
He's like, I don't know what it is, but it's not what I left. He's like, and I didn't really move all that well back then anyway. So
He was having a full comedy. He was having a full comedy hour at his press conference today.
He did a good job. It'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to it now. It might be the game I'm looking forward to the most besides the Chiefs game. The next one, Phillip Rivers starts.
Tomorrow, we're back at it. Fantasy football playoffs start this week. Paul Charchian going to join us. We'll have Professor Tapp, final segment.
Final week.
Snitch line tomorrow on the show as well. Hope you have a good rest of the day. If you're looking for betting talk tonight, I have that betting show 6 to 7 right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.